Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, another broadcast week begins on the horn. The last full, well, if you don't count Friday, the last full broadcast week of 2015. And by that, of course, I mean that, like I said, if you don't count Friday, Friday, of course, is Christmas Day, and it being a traditional holiday, we will be taking the same off, and thus having a long weekend. As far as program notes go, that's it for this week. Going to be live here right now. This program is live. It is the 21st day of December, 2015. We'll be live tomorrow, the 22nd, live Wednesday, the 23rd, live Thursday, the 24th. Going to shut things down for some family time on Friday, and then next week, live Monday, live Tuesday, live Wednesday, live Thursday. And the first is a kind of a game time decision, although I strongly suspect I will be ensconced in front of a television consuming more college football than is really healthy for anyone. Okay. Topic in the chat room, loud and clear, Bob. Thank you very kindly. Good evening to the chat room. You are welcome there. It's a madcap multimedia extravaganza, and you can join Anatole and Jug of Punch and Tim from L.A., all capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderators Lottie and Sparky. More wandering along presently. Yes. And New Year's Eve, I'm not sure. My friends at, our friends at Secret Sandwich Society are hosting a New Year's Eve bash that looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. And I thought it might actually be fun to take the boss. Wouldn't that be nice? Yes. Ah, yes, and, thank you for reminding me, Carol, the traditional reading of, the New Testament version, well, the New Testament Christmas story portions of it, will come off as it has every year on Thursday evening, courtesy of Ferg. Mm-hmm. And who knows? I might even work up a little something so he can do a little Christmas merrymaking with a guitar or something. Okay. Oh, and also, this coming in, there will be a Horn Malloy Skype chat group on Friday night, midnight-ish, right? Okay? So we'll see how that all plays out. I really would. I'd like to take the boss to the Secret Sandwich Society New Year's Eve extravaganza. It should be a lot of fun. But I don't know if I can find my tux. And if I can find it, I don't know if I've got a bumper jack to get me into it with. So there's that. Tim, will there be a lot of booze? I don't know. Mostly probably beer and wine. Yeah. I don't need a lot of booze. Just a little beer, wine, whatever. Maybe a champagne toast in the midnight hour. Not sure at all. So that's the scheduling plans. This is, of course, a listener-supported operation. And a reminder from Friday. Hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. There. Thank you. Email just came in from Tim. What's your name? And it's on there in the chat room, too. You're Bob Kincaid. Yes. You can reach me via email at bobkincaid@gmail.com. You can reach me Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. On Facebook, Bob Kincaid. On Twitter, at Bob Kincaid. All spelled BobKincaid. Bob Kincaid. Cool. And let's see. Oh yes, the listener-supported operation. Right. That's a fact, and we try to raise $200 every evening. Starting last Friday, our dear friend Chris in Germany put a $250 matching challenge on the table. $50 of that was matched Friday evening. And so $200 of it remaineth. And we, it would be awfully nice to meet that challenge because we're in the hole right now. Yes, we are. Thank you very kindly, but we are. And it'll be an even deeper hole with not being here for Friday and whatnot. So getting out in front of it would be awfully nice if that is at all humanly possible. And it would also be nice to close out 2015 by zeroing all the monthlies down to zero and starting fresh with January. Okie doke. So hopefully that is now, what's the technical term for out of the way? And we can get on with the business of what we do here every evening. It is, of course, Monday. That makes it a more-end Monday. And, well, as usually is the case, they've been stacked like cordwood all weekend long. Yes. Ron in the secret message to Ron in Canada. Yes, they have. More End Monday. What is it we do on More End Monday? Oh, More Ends. Yeah, right. And in a way, it's kind of like we got a jump on More End Monday with Friday. Because, my God, I'm still... I actually saw a legitimate newspaper story, you know, wire copy, about what we talked about Friday evening. Namely, the God upstanding Bible believing Christ centered Christian evangelical fundamentalist who managed to deprive thousands of school children of an education on Friday by ginning up such a backlash over a child having to learn about how Arabic peoples write words. That's what it boiled down to. That. The violent messages and the nastiness and the hatefulness were sufficient that the county had to shut down every school there in that county in Virginia. And that was pretty moranish. That was really moranish. Who am I kidding? But that's okay. Sometimes, it's like baseball. It's like pitching. If you just sit there and throw strikes down the middle of the plate, sooner or later you're going to get caught out and somebody's going to be waiting on one and it's going to get parked in the cheap seats. So you waste one every now and then. Yeah, you put one out there just a wee tiny bit on the outside of the plate and see if you can get the suckers to swing at it. So, you know, we did. We wasted one on Friday. But really, that's okay. That's so okay, because we're wealthy. We're wealthy with more ends. Truly, we are. Mm-hmm.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Thank you. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up, step right up. You will not believe your ears. Behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas reside a host of Morans. Morans of all stripe, Morans of all type. That's right. Birther Morans, Deather Morans, Tenther Morans, Ninther Morans, Deather Morans, Booger-eating Morans, Bircher Morans, Libertarian Morans, more Morans than you can shake a stick at, and why would you want to in the first place? They'd probably just come up and lick it. That's right, it's Moran Monday on the Horn, and you can't tell the Morans without a program. This is the program that tells the Morans, you just can't tell them much. No, sir, no, sir. For less than 17 cents per hour of programming, this is a mighty mountain of Moranity that we've got for you behind the thin cybernetic veil. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed. A gentle advisory goes out to folks wandering over from the Midway to the Moran Monday tent. Be careful as you enter. Hang on to purses. Keep a hand on children, small animals, ring-tailed lemurs. Yes, indeed. Don't even let go of your European-style messenger bags, as the Morans can get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. And in point of fact, it would appear that we are up to our armpits in Morans, at least 26% of the way. Mm-hmm. How do I know? Science. Science, yes, it's proven. We have definitive proof of the existence of Morans in the United States of Merca, the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, indivisible, under God. Mm-hmm. No reverb there, don't worry. No, we have scientific proof of not only the fact that we have lots and lots of Morans here in Merca, but that of the lots and lots of Morans that we have, they are an especially vintage lot. We've got them up to our ankles. Now, well, let's see. Average person, they're about mid-thigh when you get right down to it. That's how deep we are. We're not quite up to our armpits, but we're getting there. Just, you know, give us a couple more decades, and we'll be right there at Idiocracy, and people being, where's your tattoo? Why don't you got no tattoo? Right? The proof of Moranity comes to, Carol Baker, I haven't seen the declaration of war yet for authorizing the use of military force against Agrabah and Aladdin. Although, you know, if they get it out there, I'm sure Senator, Dr. Secretary Clinton will support it. My, that was snarky of me, wasn't it? Well, you know, what do you want me to do? The woman voted in favor of killing brown people in Iraq because George W. Bush asked her to, and, well, I mean, you know, her husband's no-fly zone was responsible for something on the order of a million civilian deaths there in Iraq before Bush, after Bush War I and before Bush War II. A lot of those civilian deaths were, you know, children. I just figure, yeah, if we ever do get around to having an authorization for use of military force against a fictional cartoon country, based on the based on the pageant that was had this past Saturday night while no one was looking, quick, have a debate, says Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I'm sure Secretary Clinton would support it. Mm-hmm. Might even lead the way if she's president. Now, granted, she might be not quite as eager to kill those brown people as, say, a T-Rump or a Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to be an American. No, but still. Yeah. But the proof of the Moranity, it comes in a simple question. Well, simple to people who aren't simple. It does, though. It
a report came out this past Friday from the National Science Foundation. Oh, no, it didn't. Aha, I got burnt. I usually check the date on these things. I forgot. But it came out many Fridays ago, but it still applies. We could still make mention of it. It goes back to something that the National Science Foundation released in February. We probably talked about this then. It bears mentioning. We'll think of it, I don't know, we'll do it like the highfalutin for-profit media does. Do. Like they do. It's plural media. And we'll call this a year-end retrospective Moran nomination. How's that? Oh, yes, I can get out of a bind. You damn well right. So the National Science Foundation surveyed 2,200 people, and they asked them sciencey questions. And of those sciencey questions, one of them was, does the Earth go around the sun, or does the sun go around the Earth? And 26% of America got the question wrong. Yes, the optimist would say, yeah, but 74% got it right. The chain is only as strong as its weakest link. 26% got it wrong. Mm-hmm. 26% of Americans said, oh, everybody knows that the sun revolves around the Earth. I mean, you can see it happen every day. It comes up in the morning, and it goes down at night. And like on today, December the 21st, at your winter solstice there, you can tell because this is when it comes up the latest and goes down the earliest, the soonest. Mm-hmm. And as noted, at least for us here in Appalachistan, it has been it's not only the shortest day of the year, it's the shortest short sleeve, short pants day of the year. Truly. It was downright toasty today. Inside the studio right now, we have a lovely 66 degrees. It was, we got up around 65, 66 degrees outside. Mm-hmm. So, happy winter solstice to everybody. Oddly enough, and the story still has relevance, despite its great age. You know what's interesting? This is one of those little digressions into ancient history. Dr. Bill was talking earlier today about cognitive processes and how we learn and how we know things and the connections that we build inside amongst the neurons of our functioning brains. We are, of course, not talking about the thin gray settlings that slosh around between the ears of right-wingers and provide a sort of liquid insulation for their great big amygdala lizard brains. No, we're talking about real human walking upright kind of brains. Dr. Bill was talking about the connections that form and how learning takes place. And this is kind of an example of the way little lights go on for me. You know, by the way, the boss and I, Agnes and I, binge-watched at many of your suggestions. We binge-watched every episode but one of The Man in the High Castle. Yeah, I think we could, you know, there are discussions to be had about that program. That show. That's a show, not a program. That's a show. But it was interesting. And it was obviously compelling enough to make a person want to click, you know, watch next episode. But anyway, well, that is true. That is true. Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, noting that I think we're going to need some reverb for this, if not rebar. Everything revolves around Merca.
Because, after all, we are the
greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, indivisible, under God.
Right? Yep. But anyway, so I've mentioned a few times that I've been reading by fits and starts, because that's the only way I can read long-form stuff. It's just not a lot of time for sitting down. It's not like there's a beach outside with an umbrella and I can just take a bottle of illicit Cuban rum brought hither from, say, Canada, and maybe an illicit Cuban cigar brought here too, also illicitly from Canada, and plunked down in my beach chair under my beach umbrella, all slathered up in SPF Avogadro's goddamn number, and just do some beach reading. It doesn't work that way. I have to read by fits and starts. And as I mentioned, I've been reading by fits and starts a book called SPQR by Mary Beard, who is awfully damn brilliant, and I think would do great on this program were she not in England, and it would require her to be up at midnight in order to have a conversation with us, like, you know, right now. Maybe it's only 5 hours. Maybe it'd be 11. It might it be, dare we think? But anyway, there's reference in her book to one of the egomaniacal statues that one Pompeius Magnus, who was a barbarian who had no Greek, by the way, according to the snobby hoity-toity types back in Rome. But anyway, once he had gone out and done some killing and massacring and conquering and whatnot, he came back and started declaring himself tributes and had a few statues made of himself. You know, big ones, really big statues. Interestingly enough, in at least two of the statues of which we are aware, and, you know, when one went on a statue binge in the ancient world, two was never enough. But in at least two statues of which we are aware, he was portrayed naked, of course. No ego operating there, but when we get to where I'm going, you'll see that there was ego to go around. In his left hand, he holds a sphere. He holds a spherical object in his hand. And we know from ancient sources that that spherical object was the world, because he considered himself a conqueror of the world. And now in the modern era, we would say the known world, because, of course, they didn't know about the Western Hemisphere. But they had a pretty good, well-grounded idea that the world was round. So that's another one of those little hunks of bullshit that they hand you about how Christopher Columbus was going to prove the world was round. The roundness of the world had already long since been proven. What he was going to do was restore the knowledge that the world was round, or roughly round, from the obscurity to which that knowledge had been condemned by, of course, organized religion. Yes, yeah, the Roman Catholic Church. Good for them. But he's holding a globe because they understood it was round. And I bring all of this up in that lengthy digression simply for the purpose of pointing out that we live in a country with people who aren't so sure. You might get an oh sure out of them over is the world round or flat, but when called upon to state it definitively as a matter of science, not so much. That's where we are. That is where we are. And even if the story's old, it provides at least a sort of a platform for us going forward. Don't you think? I think. Yes. But we do have, of course, a surfeit an embarrassment of riches in Moran's. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Now, this isn't your typical Moran nomination. Well, yeah, it is. This is a for-profit media nomination for Moran Monday. How do you get through a two-hour candidate debate that features only three candidates, none of whom are global climate change deniers, without asking a single question about same? I'm referring, of course, to ABC News and their presentation of the candidate debate scheduled brilliantly by that sage, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, for the Saturday before Christmas when nobody was watching. Yes, 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 I understand the theory that while the Republicans are out there making absolute goons of themselves, which is not a hell of an act, really, that maybe the Democrats just want to fly under the radar. Because, after all, we're just going to take it for granted that the intelligent people will vote for Hillary. I mean, that's who Debbie Wasserman Schultz is in the tank for. But they were there on stage. Martin O'Malley, Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, yay! And we even, did you watch it? I did. Ferg and I went over to Beckley to watch among some other Bernie supporters. Had a nice evening of it. But it was not nearly the crowd we had for the first one. And who can blame anybody? It was, after all, the last Saturday before Christmas. That means that people were out shopping. People were watching obscure college football bowl games. Hell, in some places, they may have even been going to, dare I say it, holiday parties. Where I'd say it's also a pretty damn good bet ABC News' coverage of the debate was not on. There you go. I got no idea what kind of ratings this thing scored. And it wasn't terrible or anything. I mean, just on a general statement of principle, and the candidates reiterated it. Any one of those three people on that stage would do a monumentally, manifestly better job of being president of the United States, to wit, imperial administrator, than any of the freaks and hacks and bizarre misogynists and shrieking harpy who are running on the Republican side. There's no question, no doubt. Of course, that is an opinion, an assessment held by people who actually acknowledge that the Earth revolves around the sun. But let's not get too far afield. There were a couple of spirited exchanges. For instance, as far as Moran Monday nominations go, let's pass a secondary one out to ABC News again for directly parroting Rupert Murdoch's Wall Street Journal, who declared that, oh my God, Bernie Sanders' health care plan is going to cost 18 trillion, jillion, gadoolion dollars, and, well, we might be able to go to the doctor, but we won't have any food. Economy, the economy, Wall Street, blah, 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 blah. And Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton tried, and it was, okay, I mean, we say this, it was a little dishonest for her to try to say that that would constitute a middle-class tax increase. Which, incidentally, it would not be insofar, and Senator Sanders tried to point this out, it wouldn't be a middle-class tax increase because of the amount of money being saved, as in not spent by the middle class, on really crappy for-profit insurance. Yeah? Hmm? I mean, I'm sure we would still have some for-profit insurance companies that idiots could purchase into if they wished. You know, Friends of Coal, people like that. But, no, no, no. $18 trillion! Or, I don't know, maybe that's more of a Dr. Evil kind of thing. $18 trillion. Over the course of 10 years. But no, no, no. ABC News, Martha Raddatz, and whoever the Ted Baxter wannabe, not, hair not quite grayed yet, guy sitting next to her, Muir, his last name was Muir. Never heard of him before in my life. But that probably has something to do with me not watching network television news. Which means I'm probably better informed, and so are you. But they did. Do you remember the Wall Street Journal story? Bernie Sanders will bankrupt America. And the author of the story used some MIT statistics, and the author of the MIT article, statistical, whatever, wrote and said, no, you're completely misconstruing all of that. You've got it completely wrong. I didn't say what you said I'm saying. Well, ABC News said what the Wall Street Journal said that wasn't what the guy from MIT who said, you get the idea. But apparently, it is true that working people in America, according to Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton, are not worth $100 a day. Mm-mm, no. Working people in America, according to Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton, are not worth the same minimum wage that people earned in 1960. Nope. Because these are both policies that are advocated for by Bernie Sanders. Now, maybe by the time we get around to the convention, maybe then the American worker will be worth that much money, but not a minute before. But the one that grabbed me, because the debate, you hear the scare quotes around that, the pageant. Because every time they started debating each other, the hairpiece made them all hush. But the debate began with, of course, Bruga, 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 Bruga. Terrorism. And we were all supposed to be dutifully terrified of the scary, scary Muslims. And by the way, just might be worth noting that there has not been a single terrorist attack in the United States that has been obtained through social media. Not one. None. Zero. Zilch. Zip. Nada. But anyway, the thing begins with us having to get down under our desks and cower in fear that the ISIS headloppers are going to come and get us. And I couldn't help notice that they would say, San Bernardino, and it was the same thing with the Republicans. San Bernardino and Boston, Boston and San Bernardino, the attacks in Paris and San Bernardino, as if the attacks in Paris and San Bernardino were the same goddamn thing. Which, incidentally, they were not. Paris and San Bernardino, San Bernardino and Paris. And I kept wondering, why is it that if we talk about terrorism, we can't say Colorado Springs. I mean, four people died there, right? And it was definitely an attack. And it was definitely politically motivated.
I am a warrior for the babies, said John Deere of... No, John Deere?
Robert Deere.
Yeah. Mr. Deere from South Carolina. I'm a warrior for the babies. Fire!
Right? San Bernardino, Paris, Paris, San Bernardino. You know what? You kind of got to go through Colorado Springs in either direction. Well, I mean, if you go over the Pacific and around, but you get the, right?
San Bernardino, Paris, Paris, San Bernardino.
Wait. And if you check my timeline, it's pretty close on Twitter. Guess who the first person to mention Colorado Springs as being a terrorist attack was? Why, of course it was Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton. No, it wasn't. It was Bernie Sanders. And dare I say it, I think it's noteworthy. Remember, we have to elect Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton president because it's a woman's turn to be president. And yet the only candidate who brought up an attack on a women's health care facility as an exemplar of terrorism wasn't the woman who wants to be president. It was that fuzzy-headed, not even fuzzy-headed, that lank, short-haired Democratic socialist from Vermont. And then we had an argument about whether we should do regime change and get rid of ISIS, or get rid of ISIS and then do regime change. Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton apparently wants to do both. And walk and chew gum at the same time, something like that. Senator Sanders said, look, you know, let's focus on the problem at hand. Bashar al-Assad is not attacking San Bernardino or Colorado Springs or Boston. Neither, for that matter, ISIS, but we'll leave that for later. And Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton was quite certain that we have to do both at the same time. We can't just create one power vacuum by eliminating ISIS, which means we will probably get a monster that is even worse. Ask Israel about the difference between the PLO and Hamas, say. No, we have to create two power vacuums at once, because that'll be twice as awesome, right? No. I know. And so it went on like that. And, of course, there were lots of tasty advertisements in which ABC News could make millions of dollars. Good for them. And but along the way, and this turned out to be a bit of a whopper, Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton used every death that occurred in Syria over the last few years and ascribed and just put them all over in Bashar Assad's corner. Now, that man is a brutal dictator who kills his own people. And I'm sure if we had a real leader like George W. Bush in there, And a crisis in Syria like what we've got now, we would have long since attacked Uruguay. But we don't, so we got to deal with what we got that Kenyan Muslim. Yeah. And we ain't getting, they ain't doing no leadering. So we gotta have us some war in Syria. Great. Everybody in favor, you go first. And this time we'll pretty much go it alone. I mean, I'm sure we'll have some... Wait a minute. Reverb.
Arab allies.
And they'll be the only, and they'll be the ones who the only thing we'll see of the, see them of them will be asses and elbows as they run away, leaving us to do the dirty work. I was also proud of Senator Sanders for mentioning what we get for our meddling in other people's business dollar. He actually mentioned the No, it was Martin O'Malley. But still, I was proud of him, too. He's not going to be president. Has an even less of a chance of it than Bernie does, and Bernie's got a little chance. But he mentioned that he mentioned our meddling in the affairs of Iran and overturning the democratically elected prime minister there, Mohammad Mossadegh, in the early 1950s. I was like, yay, history. Somebody still remembers. Huh. But it was nice to see. It really was. But I swear, I'm about sworn off debate. I'm just like anybody else. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch them. I know I'm going to watch them. I can't help it. I'm a political junkie. I'm with these things the way, bless his heart, Bart Kopp was about Survivor. Man, he loved that. And in terms of year-end retrospectives, this will be the year that we stopped getting to read BartKopp.com. And I don't know about you, but my life is the poorer for it. Miss him. Miss him real bad. But the other moran part, though, is a simple question. How do you get through that entire debate, and we'll use their word? I mean, I understand getting through an entire debate among the Republicans and not mentioning climate change. They don't even believe in it. For that matter, the Republicans think that climate change is something you can believe or not believe in. Science doesn't give a good goddamn what you believe in. You're mistaking, you know, they're mistaking science for religion. Religion cares what you believe. Science doesn't. But not a peep. Not a freaking peep. And remember... This is all staged. The candidates have a pretty general idea of what questions are going to be asked. I think you'd probably get a straight answer from Senator Sanders or Senator O'Malley even. If you ask, hey, why weren't there any climate change questions? Because there weren't. Now the great big amazing climate change summit took place in Paris. And is only scarcely recently over. And that wasn't news? Why was it not news? Because to me it is. I know. Like you, I'm one of those icky, squishy liberals who thinks that climate change is a real existential threat for humanity. And understand, I only think that because it is. If you don't think having a too hot world is
game over kind of situation for humanity, then by all means, it'd take a little while, but let's build us some rocket ships and let's fill it with Republicans and let's let them go colonize Venus. They'll love it. No. Well, I mean, they would all die the minute that they opened the hatch, because they don't, you know, they don't believe in science, and that would mean that they don't believe in, you know, pressure suits and things like that. But you get the idea. But I mean, it would at least be science. It would be an experiment. How long can a Republican who doesn't think CO2 is harmful to breathe something like CO2 and some other noxious gases? Okay, let's not cook them on Venus. Let's send them to Mars. Pure CO2 atmosphere. And all you need is something nice and thermal to keep warm on with. Huh? Possible? But there what? Nothing. Not a sausage. Zip, zilch, nada, niente. No climate change for you. No discussions of what it means for, our ability to raise food. No discussions of what climate change means in terms of the migratory patterns of the human animal. Nothing. Not a goddamn thing. Now, Senator Sanders and Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton did kind of mix it up a little bit over going to college. And Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton doesn't like Bernie's speculation transaction tax on Wall Street. Oh, no, can't have that. But not a blessed question about climate change. More questions than you ever wanted answered about dangerous Muslims. Oh, I don't know if you caught this, but, you know, he gets a de facto nomination. T-Rump wants an apology from Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton. Please don't give it to him. Please don't give it to him. Please don't give it to him. When she said that T-Rump has become ISIS's number one recruiting tool, and that they're out there showing videos, and it kind of reminded me of, like, I don't know, if they got little ISIS canvassers on the streets going, hey, pardon me, could you stop for a minute and watch this video of T-Rump talking bad things about Muslims? But no, she said that he's their number one recruiter now, and that they're out there showing videos of Donald Trump saying rotten things about Muslims as a way of proving ISIS's point that there's a war of civilizations between the Muslim world and the rest of us. And I don't know, some news organization said, well, that's not hardly true. Now, I don't know how that news organization got out there and asked every blessed Muslim on the planet if they'd ever seen a video of Donald Trump saying something nasty about Islam, and whether or not that made them feel any nicer toward ISIS or anything. But no, the for-profit media said, well, that's just not true. So T-Rump wants an apology. I hope he gets one along about the time the Dodgers return to Brooklyn. But there's that for a nomination. Yeah, we got lots to work with here. Central to the whole Middle Eastern thing is, of course, the refugee crisis, the immigration crisis, whatever we're going to call the crisis, arising out of the hellscape that we've turned Syria into. And, well, there it is. Apparently, there's a radio show out there hosted by a guy named Matt Murphy. You ever heard of him? I haven't. But then again, right-wing radio shows, there's a new one every day because the right wing actually understands the value of messaging and understands that not everybody wants to get everything from the same source and that it would probably be a good idea to support a lot of it and funds it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not sure. Well, never mind. There's a Matt Murphy show. Because Wingnut Welfare. And representing Mo Brooks, who sounds like a character, admittedly, he sounds like a character from The Simpsons, which it would but isn't nearly as intelligent as one. Representing Mo Brooks of the Alabama, I think, 5th Congressional District, representing Florence, Sheffield, Muscle Shoals, Tuscumbia, Decatur, Athens, and Huntsville, portions thereof. Well, he's become a go-to guy for your right-wing radio programs that really want to bring the full stupid, the full moron, if you will. And this is a lot of minutes of 200-proof moron because, well, representing Mo Brooks is, we're talking about swirly straw material. Oh, bless your heart, Marty. Marty says the Dodgers will return to Brooklyn long before they return to the World Series. Yeah. Giants fan, Marty, is. Yeah. But you might recall Mo Brooks as being recently infamous for his statement that Syrian refugees are nothing but a bunch of welfare grifters who are trying to get free stuff, you know, like the rest of the liberals. Apparently that works, so he repeats it for Matt Murphy.
This bill will continue to pay for people from Syria and Iraq to come to America. They're called refugees, but I think you've got a pretty good legal argument that they don't qualify as refugees, but that didn't stop this administration from wanting to call them that.
Time out? They don't qualify as refugees? How does being bombed out of your home, run out of your country, have everything in the world that you own taken from you, short of the clothing on your back, and desperately clinging to some hope of a future, how does that not qualify as you... But no, this administration's calling them refugees. They're really terrorists.
Hockey puck.
Ding, ding, ding. Hockey puck.
This administration can pay for them to come here. Then it's still going to fund all these illegal aliens that Barack Obama is enticing across our border by promising free health care, free food, free clothing, free transportation, all the freebies. It's still
free beer?
Going to force hardworking American taxpayers to pay for other people's abortions.
Well, I'll be glad when somebody's out there paying for my abortions. Other people's abortions. Why can't you say other women's abortions? Well, because Mo doesn't want to bring up other women. I mean, there's you know, that thing in Kansas City one time. Right, Mo? What? Free food, free clothing, free health care, free abortions. Oh, I tell you what a country. Mm-hmm. Have you gotten your free abortion yet? I'm still trying to find out where they're giving them away, but I want a whole buggy full. I do. I really do.
And then it's probably going to increase our deficit in debt by something in the neighborhood of $30 billion, give or take a little bit, depending on what the final numbers are.
If you haven't guessed, what he's doing is he's griping about the budget bill that got signed at the end of last week, which if John Boehner had done it, They would have run the Freedom Caucus would have run him out of town on a rail, and some of them they had enough. And here's the thing: this is another Moran nomination, kind of, sort of, maybe. You know how the House managed to pass that budget deal? Well, it seems pretty obvious that they passed it without Mo Brooks, now, didn't they? Passed it without Steve King. Passed it without Louis Asparagus Gohmert. Passed it with, you know, passed it without, who's that, the jerk that unseated the Leave Brittany Alone guy in Virginia? Brat. Passed it without Brat, I think. I'm just guessing here, but I'm just reeling off names of the Freedom Caucus because, you know, they'd rather make sure. Well, hell, they don't want Granny to have a Social Security check anyhow. Damn old people just hanging around in their Social Security hammocks, not out there contributing to the economy. Why can't they just die? Right? So that. But he didn't like the budget deal. He didn't like the fact that the government's going to continue to run because, well, he, Mo Brooks, is part of an insurgency against the idea of constitutional self-governance. Let's pick back up.
The leadership of the Democrats take advantage of the leadership of the Republicans once again.
What, Edith, huh? But no, Democrats. Democrats are the ones who, once again, in this case, pulled Eddie Munster, Paul Ryan's bacon out of the fire and kept the government going. And there was a lot of stuff for Democrats not to like. But hey, we got to keep the National Science Foundation, right? And the National Institutes of Health? Huh? That's something? We talked about that? Yeah. But Democrats are why that bill passed, not Mo Brooks. You're going to increase the deficit. Well, hey, Mo, what happened to... Hey, Mo, what happened to that... What happened to your buddy, Count Dicula, Darth Cheney's statement that deficits don't matter, huh?
Help me understand the dynamics. Are we breaking into our...
That's Matt Murphy.
Are the usual suspects going into their respective corners with regard to the... The more conservative wing, the Freedom Caucus in the Republican Party that wants to be
more...
I sure hope so.
We have to do what's in the best interest of America, and we have to understand the threat of this deficit and debt situation that daily gets worse, and we need...
Really? The deficit and debt situation daily gets worse? Yeah, okay. Ron in the, at best, maybe slightly crispy frozen north, says, damn, all those freebies for those refugees must really be expensive down there in Freedom Land. Canada's bringing in a minimum of 25,000, and the estimated tab is around $750 Canadian dollars over the next 5 years. And that ain't even in real money. That's in your Canadian money. Well, but I mean, but they're going to get free American stuff, Ron, not free Canoodlian stuff. Free American stuff. Free American health care. You know, the kind that's really, really expensive, and you don't get much for it because it's so awesomely American. The greatest health care in the world on earth now, today, indivisible under God. Yeah. And it goes on like this for a while. But that wasn't all that Mo had to say. Let's check back in, shall we?
Then John Boehner did. So that helps convince the public that what is being done is in the best interest of America because of the persuasive characteristics that Paul Ryan has that John Boehner lacked. However, it doesn't change the basic fact that we're going to be blowing through the $19 trillion mark, debt mark, pretty soon. And since I've been in Washington, year after year after year, we've made the deficit situation better. Now, it started out at $1.4 trillion. It's down to about $439 billion for the fiscal year that ended this past September 30th. For the first time since I've been here, though, the projections are that our deficit's going to start getting worse. And that's because this year, this Congress failed to resist the pressure from the White House and the Democrats, and once again just had a devil-may-care attitude about the threat of these deficits and accumulated debt. It's very frustrating.
You know, I know you're dealing with the nuts and bolts of his speakership. It does not...
No, Matt Murphy. He is the nuts of Paul Ryan's speakership, but continue.
Help me sleep better at night that you would say that he's more liberal than John Boehner, and structurally he's operating in the same way. I would agree with you that from a presentational standpoint, he does have a way to persuade one toward his way of thinking and a way to present it better to the American people. That said, his biggest moment so far, at least as presented by the mainstream press...
Skip a bit, brother.
That is his track record. This particular issue...
Okay, let's try something else. Yeah, let's pick up here, shall we?
Stop processing the immigration paperwork altogether. For a period of time. Put a pause button on it for a period of time.
I would love for us to do that. But we've got a president of the United States who wants to change the way America looks.
Oh, no. Are all the white people... I hate it when the stupid gets this thick. I guess we're going to run the deficit up some more because that one in our White House is going to... Do I have this right? He's gonna mail us all us white folks a tin of Kiwi shoe polish, and he's gonna change the color of this. God damn, this man's a moron.
I made a statement that there are Islamic State supporters in every state in the United States. All 50 states.
Why not stop processing the immigration paperwork altogether? For a period of time. Put a pause button on it for a period of time.
I would love for us to do that. But we've got a president of the United States who wants to change the way America looks. And a lot of it has to do with skin pigmentation. A lot of it has to do with religious values. And he's hell-bent on doing this kind of damage to his country. Because he doesn't think the Judeo-Christian people who made America the greatest nation in world history are deserving of the role that they have played in making America great over the past 230-some-odd years.
Profound statement. I want to let that...
Okay, it's a profound statement. I call it word salad. Can anybody translate? My universal moron translator's broken this evening. See? Try that again.
In every state in the United States, all 50 states.
Why not stop processing the immigration paperwork altogether? For a period of time, put a pause button on it for a period of time.
I would love for us to do that. But we've got a president of the United States who wants to change the way America looks. And a lot of it has to do with skin pigmentation. A lot of it has to do with religious values. And he's hell-bent on doing this kind of damage to his country.
Breathe. Breathe. Do you notice that change
because I mean, there's an actual process. One, I love the fact that you still have to go to the congressman from Alabama to get him to complain about. Wait a minute.
The blackening of America.
Or maybe better. We kind of had this conversation. Wait a minute.
The browning of America.
God almighty. No, see, what this is. This is how your Klansman talks. And a lot of it has to do with skin pigmentation. When he's not at the clavern and saying, the mongrelization of the races. Same, same. But do you notice? It harms America, according to Mo Brooks. It harms America for this country to become less pasty, less doughy, less Pillsbury Doughboy complected. Yeah? Yeah.
Because he doesn't think the Judeo-Christian people who made America the greatest nation in world history are deserving of the role that they have played in making America great over the past 230-some-odd years.
Because you know what? Over the past 230-some-odd years, not a single person of color made America great. Not one. Dr. Martin Luther King? Forget it. Nope, sorry. He made us worse, not great. Didn't make us better at all. Nope. And as a white guy, naturally, I go immediately to Dr. Martin Luther King, right? I'm glowing in the dark right now. Please. Not one. How about the faceless, nameless people of color, mostly men, who literally cut and hauled and placed the foundation stones of the very seat of our national government? And dare I say it, a majority of the state capitals. Nope, they didn't help make America great. Not even a little bit great. Nope. What do you want to bet that Mo Brooks just hates the month of February? That's your Black History Month. That's that month we celebrate all the people who didn't make America great. God damn. This isn't historical revisionism. This is historic erasure. Harriet Tubman? Nope, not great. W.E.B. Du Bois? Nope, not great. Booker T. Washington, might have been a little bit great, but not really. Crispus Attucks, not great. And here's the funny thing. There's nothing funny about it. That district that he represents in Alabama actually probably has a higher concentration of progressive-minded people than just about any other part of the state of Alabama. This is a place where when he visited, there were people hanging out of windows and on rooftops just to get a glimpse of FDR, who saved them from starvation. Well, I mean, he's white and everything, but you get the idea. People of color were pretty excited about him, too. this. And even though there's a higher progressive concentration in that district in Alabama than any other part of the state, they're going to reelect this dumb bastard. They will reelect this stump liquor swilling fool come November 2016. They sure enough will. And it's just geographically and culturally, it's especially galling, not just because it's, you know, where I was raised, and I love that place. But because he represents an area of technological and scientific concentration that is higher than just about anywhere else in the South. The American space program was born in that district. There's still a hell of a lot of high technology there, especially in the corridor between, say, Decatur and Huntsville. A lot of the industry in the Shoals has dried up, but there between Decatur and Huntsville, there's some pretty stunning stuff going on. I mean, rocketry. Stuff that's meant to carry payloads into space and maybe be components of the next vehicle capable of going to the moon or maybe even onward to Mars. It's there. But you know what else is there? Churches. And you know who Mo Brooks really loves? Fetuses. That's who. And just because I have to do this now, every time I hear one of these wingnut pricks bring it up, can we please, and I understand your urge to sort of keep your head down. Historically, it's been a pretty good idea. But I think you're safe here. Can we please get, and I don't care if you're Reform, Orthodox, what have you, can we please get a unifying statement from the Jewish community that no, you are not part of this right-wing, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual horse shit? I mean, I'm not. I don't hold it against people one way or the other, but hello, American Jewry. I mean, yeah, because you know I'm speaking to it, right? Do you realize that you are being lumped in with Ted Cruz and Mo Brooks and T. Rump every time one of these or God knows some prosperity gospel sharp hustler says Judeo-Christian values? You're being used. You're being ridden like a barred mule. That is to say, not ridden well, but ridden hard and probably put up wet. Because every time the word Judeo-Christian gets hauled out, you can bet your last buck that there's nothing Judeo about it, and it is entirely not even entirely Christian. It is specifically evangelical fundamentalist amosexual Christian. And it isn't going to go away until someone who is an affected member of the community says, stop it. I mean, I'm not even part of the community, and I find it insulting.
He doesn't think the Judeo-Christian people who made America the greatest nation in world history are deserving of the role they have played in America, making America great.
Are those the same Judeos that Henry Ford was publishing broadsheets against in the 1920s? Are those the same Judeos that your buddies in the Klan have rallies about? Yeah, as a matter of fact. And just as an act of mercy, I'm not going to play you anymore, this freak. But he goes on. Responding to another question from Matt Murphy. He says, Trump's got a point. If he stops Muslims from coming into America, that 1% or whatever it is that's going to resort to violence, killing non-Muslims, won't be here. And, of course, that's going to be at the cost of whatever productivity there might be from the 99%. Now, but he means the 99% of Muslims who are good Muslims, not the 1% who are ruining it for everybody else.
The stupid is strong with this one.
And we're nowhere near to done. We got oodles more moran. Tons o' moran.
Note coming in from Robert in Australia. Subject line, greatest country. To make the greatest country, all that was required was genocide. Why do they never say Jewish Christian culture?
No, it's your Judeo. And it's your Judeo because it ain't Jewish culture. I mean, it ain't like the Southern Baptist is going to sit down to a big old bowl of kugel and some matzo ball soup. Okay, it's Judeo, Robert, because we don't want. I mean, because see, a lot of Mo Brooks's constituents would be upset if we called it Jewish Christian culture.
See the distinction? Maybe not. Right.
Note coming from Heather in Michigan. Hello, this guy from Alabama's a dweeb, Jesus H. Christ. Meanwhile, Ron and Raleigh with a note.
Now, wait a minute. Hasn't this goober heard of the Hyde Amendment? American people are paying for abortions? How? When? Because there's funding for Planned Parenthood in there, Ron, and that means that them Planned Parenthoods are sitting around with their fetus sashimi and the dipping it in the cheese sauce and the chocolate and the gooey melted marshmallow and just sitting around eating fetuses all day long.
No, Marty, I don't think Matt Murphy is the secret identity of the daredevil. Oh, I noticed that, too. I noticed that Thomas from over at FYINation.com says, that ABC News guy, the haircut whose last name's Muir, he couldn't pronounce Bernie's last name. He kept saying, Saunders. Meanwhile, I don't know. We have, I think we have sorely taxed Robert's ability to cope. Don't get me started with the flat earthers and the earth-centered universe, people. No, no. Ah! All caps. Those goddamn flat earthers and earth-centered universe people are all over YouTube. You can show them images of Earth from space taken by NASA, Roscosmos, JAXA, and the ESA, and they'll state, those are all CGI. Probably involves crisis actors, too, which includes those three taken decades before photorealistic images were possible with CGI. And they all believe the sun and moon magically orbit each other every few hundred miles above the flat Earth. You can't tell them they're wrong. I'm entitled to my opinion, they say, like that means something. And 26% of Americans believe the Earth is flat. Flying spaghetti monster, help us all. If you want stupid on display, just type flat Earth into YouTube. I can't do that to myself. I cannot do that to myself. Robert also says, you know, you've seen photos of some of the anti-Islam demonstrations we've had in Australia. That handful of fear-ridden idiots holding signs that say, no Sharia law in Australia. They're watching American media, Robert, as though that would happen. Actually, it did happen once, sort of. An Australian lad in his late teens decided to convert to Islam, and he did. Unfortunately, he was later found to have gone on a bender with friends. Australian teen grew up in a drinking culture. What else would you expect? So the cleric he took instruction from decided to invoke Sharia law, and he was caned. 50 strokes, if I recall properly. The cleric was later arrested for assault. Religion's not an excuse for caning people. You can't cane kids in school anymore. You certainly cannot cane adults, because we don't have Sharia law in Australia. And unless magic happens, we never will. These people who think it will happen, well, they're all just morons, and, well, that's why we celebrate them every Monday, Robert. Mm-hmm. 22 minutes past the hour. Again, I will note that we have a $200 matching challenge on the table and nothing happening. Zero. Zip, zilch, nada. Nothing. And I also understand it's Christmas week and everybody's probably all tapped out. And, well, this is just the intersection of that and that. But that's, you know, this is how we keep this all going. $5 at a time, $10 at a time, what have you. So the PayPal interface is over at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute. Remember, with the $200 challenge from Chris on the table, your 5 becomes 10. Your 10, 20. Your 20, 40. Your 50 becomes 100. Your 100 becomes 2. Your 2 becomes 4, up to $200, of course. So that's, you know, that's where that stands. God almighty, I have filibobstered the hell out of this Monday. I must have been itching to get behind the microphone. Well, it's Monday, I usually am. With me being away Friday evening, I'll be a mess by Monday. Oh, yeah. So let's take a break. This is, after all, conversation radio, right? Last I checked. And, that means, well, we talk. You know the numbers, right? 304-574-8178, 304-574-8178, or the stress line, 304-663-4676. That's 304-663-HORN. Skype to Skype is Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. Just all kinds of ways of reaching the program, huh? Okay. break time. Smoke them if you got them. Or something like that. I'm Bob Kincaid. Man, that never gets old. Green Day, American Idiot, 2004, and the lyrics are as fresh as a damn daisy. Yes, they are. Sorry, Agnes and I were looking for something during the break. That's a short song for looking for stuff. But let's, more ands everywhere and can't get anyone to think. Isn't there a line in there about ruled by the media? Yeah. So we had... I didn't know it. We had a media kerfuffle last night. I think this would be about the time that Agnes and I were binge watching The Man in the High Castle. But there was a media kerfuffle last night when Steve Harvey, native West Virginian, I might add, who often says really goofy, stupid, right-wing things. No, really. Imagine that, him a West Virginian. You know, he hosts, he used to be a comedian, and then he, like all comedians hope to do, he got a gig on a successful game show. Well, that translated into getting to host the Miss Universe pageant. It's not a pageant, it's a scholarship competition. Hey, right.
Well, anyway. So last night when they were announcing the winner, Steve Harvey had something terrible happen. He actually announced the winner of the pageant was not the winner of the pageant. He read the cue cards wrong. It's not like he went up on his lines and he had a script memorized or anything. He actually read the cue cards wrong and announced that Miss Columbia was Miss Universe instead, and then he had to go back and say, no, it's Miss Philippines. When in fact, we all know that the real winner of Miss Universe every year is Miss United States of America.
The greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, indivisible, under God, in the universe.
Man, that line gets much longer. We're going to have to break it up into stanzas. But no, so he screwed up, and today it was, that could happen to anybody. Well, yeah, it could. It could happen to anybody who can't read a cue card. It really could. So, along the way, this isn't Miss Universe. This is Miss America. We've had a case of Christian persecution, friends and neighbors. I know, it's sad. It tears me up. All the poor Christians getting persecuted for not being politically correct. Miss Puerto Rico has been suspended indefinitely. Destiny Velez. Why? Did she stop being beautiful? No. Did she stop being from Puerto Rico? No. No, it just turns out she's an asshole. And I can say that. She got into it on Twitter with Michael Moore. Why? What did Michael Moore ever do to Destiny Velez? Absolutely nothing. What he did, however, was to hold up a sign outside of Trump Plaza, Trump Tower, Trump Dump, whatever it was, a sign saying, "We are all Muslims." And this was something up with which Miss Puerto Rico, Destiny Velez, would not put. And she got out her phone and she opened up her Twitter app and she started a tweeting. Never thinking for a moment, hey, I'm Miss Puerto Rico. I've got a chance at being Miss America. Maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe all this thumb typing that I'm doing is going to prove that I'm a goddamn right-wing moron. Which it did. At M.M. Flint. Hold a sign that says, "We are all believers in Christ. Why are you defending Muslims that haven't done nothing for the USA? Yes, she said, "haven't done nothing." I didn't know they spoke hillbilly in Puerto Rico. At M.M. Flint, "All what Muslims have done is provided oil and terrorized this country and many others." Lots of exclamation points. At M.M. Flint, "There's no comparison between Jews, Christians, and Muslims. Jews nor Christians have terrorizing agendas in their sacred books." Oh, she is a moron, isn't she? She hasn't read them. She hasn't read the part about killing all the men and all the women except for saving the virgins who were going to be allowed to be raped by the priests. Nope, didn't read that part. Didn't read the part about
kill all of everybody who lives on this land we want to take over because God said so. Didn't read that part in Deuteronomy or where the hell ever. Didn't, and by the way, Destiny Velez, what the are you doing even tweeting, honey? The New Testament, and St. Paul in particular, says you're supposed to shut the up. And why in the hell are you displaying your filthy female hair when your sacred religious text says that that is a distraction to men and you're supposed to cover it up in public? Yeah, because see, that whole cover your head with a scarf thing, that's not just a Muslim thing. That's a monotheism thing. All the monotheistic religions think women's hair is filthy and disgusting. Even if you use that spray on hairspray, because you don't have any water because you live in a goddamn desert. You're right. At M.M. Flint, Muslims use our Constitution to terrorize USA and plant gas stations? Don't plant them too deep. They might not grow. Most terrorist attacks have had a religion and a name associated with them, and they have been from Islam religion at M.M. Flint. How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And she's still just tweeting away. I'm Miss Puerto Rico, and I don't want to be Miss Puerto Rico anymore. For Jesus. Many pull out the card of Muslims serving in our military. Are they in the military because they love our nation or to acquire benefits? You know, like a bullet through the spleen. That's a real big, the key to the benefits program in the military? Not getting killed. That's really the key to the benefits plan. Why do people want to separate Muslims from ISIS when ISIS is a group of, why am I giving her a southern accent? Is she from southern Puerto Rico? When ISIS is a group of Muslim fanatics. All they do is build their mosques, feel offended by American values, and terrorize innocent Americans and plant gas stations, again with the gas stations. And get guns and kills innocent people and destroy precious artifacts. That precious artifacts thing, Destiny? You know who's fueling the trade in that? Christians! Go ask the fine, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, ammosexual, gundamentalist there at Hobby Lobby, the Green family. Why don't you do that? Man, I liked it when the beauty queens were just talking about us not having enough maps and such as the Iraq. But she's not going to be Miss Puerto Rico anymore because, well, she liked it. And somewhere out there in Wingnut World, there's somebody says, poor Destiny Velez, she's being deprived of her First Amendment rights because she spoke the truth about the Muslims. I don't know how it is that I drive by the liquor store every other day or so, because we don't have one on this side of the river. I drive by the liquor store every day, and I never stop in. I never have the tequila bottle when I need it. I mean, not so much as a goddamn bottle of vanilla extract around here when you've got Miss Puerto Rico complaining about the ISIS planting gas stations. I mean, is that some sort of colloquialism in Puerto Rico? Hey, Jim, calm me down. Help me here. Jim?
Yeah?
Yeah, help me here.
I don't know. Well, all right, Bob. What's going on? I got a pork chop in my mouth.
No. I hate it when that happens. You're sitting there waiting to go on the radio and somebody, and you got a pork chop in your mouth and somebody calls on you. What's going on? I don't know. Apparently, ISIS is planting gas stations all over America and shredding the Constitution in the process. What are we going to do?
Well, I guess maybe relax, calm down. We'll have a couple of drinks, a little gaming over at the Tuscany off the strip.
Hey, you, by God, that sounds like that sounds like a plan, and maybe a pork chop.
Now, there's a pork chop I'm eating.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Yeah. I've got a buddy. I've got a buddy who was raised hunting and going to deer camp up in the the Poconos and stuff. And an old fella he hunted with there referred to beer as pork chop in a can.
Well, I eat it on dry pork, but I just I've never had pork in a while, so. I bought some pork chops. So, pork chops and a boiled potato. Little butter, little Tony's, little...
Yeah. Wait, did you say a little Tony's, a little Tony Sasheries?
Well, actually, I have a different one. It's called Gold... it reminds me of Tony. Gold Spice or something, but it's...
You know what I love? You know what I love to do? When I make Bloody Marys, I'll rim the Bloody Mary glass in a combination of Tony Sasheries and celery salt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a nice blast. Yeah,
it has to be a good vodka because I can, but if they do...
No, I make my Bloody Marys with tequila.
Oh. Well, it'd have to be good tequila, I think. Right?
No, I never use Cuervo, but I use the, we got a brand here that's like $9 a liter and it's got a rooster on the label and it gets you where you want to go in a real hurry and it tastes like tequila out of taste.
Okay.
Not like Cuervo.
What about the real expensive ones? I mean, they've got some super expensive, $50, what is it, for Rome? The liquor has kind of been cutting back.
Well, frankly, I've had to too, because if I gave into my baser instincts, I wouldn't make it to 9 p.m. Eastern time sober any night of the week. It'd just be, you know, two stories, and in goes the swirly straw, and you know, down goes Kincaid, down goes Kincaid.
Yeah, it's also, I just kind of noticed, it kind of hits your body pretty hard, you know, you don't really kind of realize it, and then you like kind of do it, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
But what I was calling about was, the shooting, but it was like, what's up with that lady in the car, you know, hit the 37 people, killed one, any new story on that? I haven't heard anything.
No, what?
That woman who hit the 37 people, killed like one, at least that's I heard, on Vegas Boulevard.
Let me check with the Horn Fact Checking Bureau. That a 37 person killing?
No, not killed.
Oh.
Hit in an automobile. She ran over him on a strip.
Wow.
You didn't hear about that?
No, I didn't hear about that. I don't get the Las Vegas Daily Briefing, but goddamn.
It was on the internet. It came across on Twitter. I mean, I kind of heard about it. It really didn't happen that far from where I reside, from my fabulous bachelor pad. It was really about in a vehicle on a good day traffic light. Because she hit some people back by the Paris Hotel Casino, and she went up another street and ran over some more over by the Tuscany. It's a smaller casino bar, which I've been in. I still go there frequently once in a while, but I could have been over in that area.
There it is. There it is from Eyewitness Team Coverage News Action News Team Coverage 7, ABC. 37 hit as car runs onto Las Vegas Strip sidewalk, one killed and six critical.
Yeah. And yeah, because it was on the news. And then it's, but that reminds me, it seems like news just loves, but they do. That's what they're waiting for. They're waiting for something horrible to happen so then they can.
Well, but see, I didn't hear about this, Jim. So what this means is that this is part of the media conspiracy only to highlight gun killings. Because the one thing we wouldn't want to do out of this, well, I mean, this just proves that regulations don't work, because we got all kinds of laws about not running over 37 people, and yet this woman did. So, see, gun laws won't work.
Yeah, true. Exactly. Exactly. I'm glad you seen the light, Brother Bob. Did you get your... have you been receiving your payments from the NRA and... what's his name?
Wayne LaPierre, not because, see... I don't know. I don't know what's going on there, but like the check, the check is. They keep telling me the check's in the mail. All I got to do is say regulations don't work, and see freedom and stuff like that, and they'll send me a big old government money check, but it ain't happened. Yeah. Maybe they've got the old address or something.
That would be. Or you could just send it to me and. Have it sent to me. That would help.
Well, I'll tell Wayne next time we're talking. Wayne LaPierre, not Boss Man Wayne. I'll tell Wayne LaPierre to just go ahead and send my NRA free money check to you.
Yeah, but I can't believe it. Here it was like, well, of course this is.
Well, I mean, damn, I'm surprised. Well, this must have been while I was like I said. Apparently, the whole world went to hell while Agnes and I were binge watching The Man in the High Castle. The vehicle was in the northbound lanes of Las Vegas Boulevard near Bellagio Way when it drove up onto the sidewalk about 6:30 p.m. in front of the Paris Hotel and Casino and struck pedestrians, including 37 people who were taken to the hospital. Lieutenant Peter Bofelli said, "This is a huge tragedy that has happened on our strip." The Miss Universe pageant was being held nearby. Terrorism has been ruled out, but the crash appears to be intentional. Now, it just gets weirder.
Yeah, that's what I was noticing, because I was watching it hours after it happened, and there's, you know, the news, local news. It is a big story, so they're covering it. But, you know, it doesn't appear to be terrorist-oriented. It was, you know...
There was a kid in the car. Oh, my God.
Yeah, a little 3-year-old. So,
properly restrained, though, apparently.
Well, I'm sure if she was. Well, what do you think? You can't have. I mean, maybe she had some sort of psychotic. Reaction or psychotic. What do they call it? Break.
Maybe she thought she was about to get raptured. This is not terrorism, but it appears to be intentional. You know how I translate that from for-profit media speak?
What? She wasn't
a Muslim, but she meant to do this.
Right, right. So, she's going to be looking at it. Probably pretty long term, huh? I don't know if she has to get out of it.
I don't know. I don't know how you'd go about prosecuting this. I mean, if she meant to do it, intentions follow the intent follows the act. You are, in other words, you are presumed to intend the rational, the reasonable, not rational. You are presumed to intend the reasonable consequences of your actions. So if she meant to drive into a crowd, and that means she meant to kill somebody, you could conceivably hit her with first-degree murder.
Yeah, well, I mean, I could see accidentally running over 1, 2, 3, maybe 4, but after that, you're going to kind of notice that thing. I haven't driven them a long time. And that being said, I did get hit off the Las Vegas Strip by a car.
Well, I mean, having walked along the Las Vegas Strip once, is there a time of year when that is not crowded?
No, because even in the summertime, when it's like 110 in the shade.
Which is when I was there.
Yeah, and there's no shade. It's still pretty crowded, although, I mean, I noticed.
And there were all kinds of people standing along the sidewalk handing out these collector cards of a rather curious nature.
I guess they still do that. I don't go on a strip much. Although one thing I did notice, and they had done this, because last time I went down, I was on the strip. I was going to a particular place, and I wanted to kind of make a little cut. And they have cut down. There aren't as many side streets you can go down. So it seems like they cut down on that. And, you know, as you probably remember, I don't know when you were here, but the block, the streets are really long. I mean, it's not a regular block, especially when you get by the Venetian, Bellagio, all those big, you know, MGM and all those huge hotels. You're going to walk. It surprises you how long you'll walk in some time. You kind of look, and the buildings look big, and they look that far off. And next thing you know, you're still walking 20 minutes later. I didn't catch. Well, maybe I'll catch it on the.
I'm glad you brought this to my attention, Jim, because I find it very interesting. What the hell does this even mean? We know that this was not an act of terrorism. We will comb through that footage to get a detailed idea of what occurred. Right now, from what we know, we're looking at it possibly being intentional. And they said it was a 1996 Oldsmobile, but wasn't registered to Nevada, and the driver had recently moved to the area.
Yeah, the G2 I got on that's been here.
Yeah, all I got out of that is that we figured out she wasn't a Muslim.
Yeah, that was to put your mind at ease, although there's a possibility she did get.
God almighty, yeah. This is amazing. She even got away. She kept driving and eventually parked at a hotel. And then this, the driver is being investigated to determine whether she was under the influence of drugs or alcohol.
Yeah, well, the other option would be like some sort of psychotic break, I guess.
And you know what? You'd be surprised, maybe, but that does happen. I remember a long, long time ago while I was having a cup of coffee in law school, one of our favorite in a book called Prosser and Keaton on Torts. Torts text. There was a case, I'm forgetting what the rule of law it was teaching was, but there was a case about a woman who lost it, just, you know, whoop, gone, whilst driving an automobile. And oh, I can't remember exactly what happened, but when asked, she said that Batman can fly, so can I.
Wow.
And apparently after the crash, she like tore off all her clothes and was trying to leap off the car or something like that. And of course, being the law school nerds that we were like, yeah, this woman's obviously lit, because everybody knows Batman doesn't fly. That's Superman, damn it.
Well, y'all go to Al in law school, so of course you know those things.
If I recall correctly, she was religiously insane. There was something about the rapture, maybe. I don't know. But, you know, obviously she was just, you know, not at all home.
Right.
So this is, the boss and I do this sometimes. I really, really do. Sometimes I take a day or two just to sort of get clean from the internet and to get clean from the news and put it all aside and try to relax a little bit, because it is 100% information overload here just about every blessed day.
I can see that now that you mentioned it. I mean, I noticed over the last, I'm kind of getting real used to having my internet. Well, I'm listening to you on over the radio, but
you know, on the Twitters and stuff.
I mean, I wasn't watching Miss Universe last night. I only heard about that as I was driving today and had the radio turned on and heard the saga of poor Steve Harvey.
Yeah, see, that was on the internet. That was on the Twitter. It was about bad.
Oh, apparently, apparently the Twitter had a straight up conniption over it.
Well, the thing is, it comes up, and then like sometimes when I like to stroll in it. You know, sometimes I'll throw up some great comments, blah blah blah. just reading the stuff and then I saw the Steve Harvey thing and like, you know, if I want to, then it's like going down a rabbit hole because you got to read it or listen to it. You know, it's another 15, 20, 30 minutes of your life you're not going to get back. So I sometimes I'm like, I really want to look at that story.
Well, we do know, among other things, that she was driving on a suspended license, and we know that she was from Oregon.
Okay, that's two things I didn't get.
And her name is Lakeisha N. Holloway. She's 24 years old. She was homeless and had been living in her car, the 1996 Oldsmobile, with her 3-year-old toddler.
I thought she was married.
I don't know that she is or isn't here.
That makes more sense because if you're homeless, and particularly if you're a woman, which means you're basically not only against the elements, but the elements of being, you know, sexually assaulted are much more vulnerable. That's what a man is.
And apparently the police have now announced that she made a statement explaining her motive, so that means she had one. And the cop said that, he wouldn't say what she said her motive was.
Is that a legal thing? Because they got to wait to present that trial? Will they do that?
No. It's a modern thing, is what it is. That police don't like to release information anymore if they can possibly get away with withholding it.
Well, that's the case that makes their case stronger, then, right?
She got her first license in 2012. She got her first license in 2011, and 3 months later in 2012, her license was suspended for no insurance. They suspended it again in 2013 for failing to pay court fines that came from the previous suspension.
Wow. So I didn't know that, because she sounds a lot more financially strapped than it seems. Now that the homeless, how do you sleep? You know, even if you have a car, you know, where, how do you, you know, sleep in the car? I mean, it's better than just trying to sleep on the street. But, and with a 3-year-old?
Well, she was a 24-year-old homeless woman. It's not like she could get a sitter.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the American dream, you know. I mean, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps just like your
Yeah, this
your
is, I mean, this is, this is horrible. And, you know, obviously, as you said, it was all over the place, and I just flat missed it. But take a minute to consider this. It's not terrorism, because she's not a Muslim. But it was intentional. But we won't talk about her homelessness or the fact that we've cut supplemental nutrition assistance program benefits or any of that kind of thing. We won't talk about that.
Yeah.
Right, because see, things like homelessness and cutting benefits away from poor people, well, that's a kind of terrorism too, but it's an institutional terrorism, Jim. It's not the scary Muslim kind. I mean, hell's bells. We can't you can't even get ABC News to acknowledge that the Colorado Springs Planned Parenthood shooting was terrorism. But, you know, they got to double check and make sure that 24-year-old woman in that 1996 Oldsmobile wasn't from ISIS.
I thought that was capitalism where, you know, you just pull yourself up by your
bootstraps. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was confusing capitalism with terrorism again. It happens all the time.
Yeah, well, I'd do the same thing, Bob. Don't feel bad. Yeah, it's it's interesting how they, because that's, by the way, she's not, that was the first thing, it's not a terrorist thing. I thought, that's kind of weird, but I guess, by them planning it, because at first, I didn't think a terrorist act, because it's kind of, I'm not saying, you know, maybe they'll give them an idea at the next Al-Qaeda meeting, you know, hey, maybe people with cars, they're just like bombs.
Now, damn it, you're going to get Agent Fred on me. Now, quit that.
Think outside the box. Think outside the car. Think outside the bomb. But, that's what they probably... And see, also, the local news is, well, you know, the big holiday, because New Year's Eve is the biggest day. In fact, they closed Strip down from about 6 p.m. New Year's Eve till 6 p.m. New Year's Day. You have to go somewhere. You have to walk and take a back street. And that's what I was talking about, like, on the Strip, how they cut. This is a good thing in some ways, so it cuts down on shortcuts, but they cut a lot of access to the back streets, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, the blocks, you've been out here, so the block, the streets are, you know, long streets. It's not, you'll be walking a long time. So, well, that's my report on the Vegas thing. I missed, like, the first hour of your show, you know, I wasn't here.
Oh, well, you know, you can catch it on the podcast or the rerun stream.
Yes, it's religiously. I gotta get my Bob and the Lord fix up.
Exactly. Well, Jim, you have yourself a good evening.
Okay, be careful crossing the street.
Damn straight. The life you save may be your own.
Yeah. I take it from somebody who knows first person.
See you, Jim.
Later. Bye, Bob.
Our buddy Jim from Nevada Stan. Note coming from Thomas. Bob. Yeah, now see, Ron, there was no gimmick infringement there. That's just one Bob and one exclamation point. Bob. Grr, it's the Daesh or ISIL, please. Don't insult the goddess ISIS. Signed by People Against the Mistreatment of Long Gone Gods. Can you know, if it were not for FCC restrictions, I think we could solve this really quickly and just call them assholes. But, well, the FCC won't let us. I mean, that guy with the hair over at ABC, U.S. warplanes dropped 57 bombs on assholes in Syria today. See, it works. But we can't do it because... Well, you know, what will the children think? I have a feeling that this is America. This is 2015. I have a feeling children know that word emerging from the womb. Okay. So last week, remember when we had the right-wing hissy? I'm sorry. The white wing hissy over Serena Williams winning Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year instead of a horse. Yeah, you do, I'm sure. And you remember the right wing hissy being had over a black guy playing a major role as a stormtrooper in the new Star Wars movie, which I haven't seen. No spoilers. Shut up. Ferg went to see it today. I'm going to be so pissed if he ruins it for me. So, you know, you remember that. Mm-hmm.
We have a new one. I mean, people starving in the world, people getting blown up in the world, shot in the world, run over in the world. Angry white people are mad at... They're mad at J.K. Rowling. You know, the author who created the Harry Potter series?
Mm-hmm.
Now, J.K. Rowling has not been particularly specific about the race, ethnicity of any of her characters. She did get specific with regard to sexuality of Dumbledore, mainly, I think, just to troll the weirdos. So I didn't know it, but we've gone past the books and past the movies, and now we're into stage plays. Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. And the play takes place, I guess, when they're all grown up. But wait. Are you sitting down? Have you got a good grip on reality? Of course you do. This is the Horn. In this play, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, the woman playing Hermione is a brown person. Yes. And not just any brown person. It's Noma Dumezweni, who has won the Laurence Olivier Award for her acting prowess. And she's not a white woman. I can't wait to hear Alabama's Mo Brooks explain how Barack Obama did this. It's going to be downright delightful. But until Matt Murphy can get Mo Brooks on his radio program to explain how a lot of this has to do with skin pigmentation and Barack Obama's trying to change the color of our beloved witchcraft and warlocky novels. Yeah, hell, who are we kidding? Mo Brooks probably thinks that you get a demon if you read Harry Potter. We've been down that road. No, the white wingers are... very, very upset. Now, the story I'm looking at over at Raw Story says J.K. Rowling is fairly vague when it comes to the race of the character in the books. The closest she comes is in Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, when she wrote Azkaban. Wait a minute. Don't 33% of Republicans support bombing Azkaban too? When she wrote, there they were, both of them, sitting outside Florian Fortescue's ice cream parlor, Ron looking incredibly freckly, Hermione very brown, both waving frantically at him. Well, that's not just brown, that's very brown, damn it. Mm-hmm. But see, in the movies, not the books... because most of your average upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gundamentalist, homosexuals don't do that book-reading thing because demons. In the movies, Hermione was played in her youthful aspect by Emma Watson. And that is how the right wing, the white wing, in America, expects her to be played forevermore. And they're Shakespeare purists too. If you happen to have dark colored skin, there ain't but one role for you to play in all of Shakespeare, and that's your Othello. You ain't be playing no Hamlet.
No, I don't want to hear about you playing no dark-skinned Scott named, well, we won't even say the name because it's bad luck. Romeo because clearly, historically, Romeo was white, just like James Bond. So here's an idiot on Twitter. Of the Harry Potter books, why has Hermione, a described white character, been cast as black? It makes no sense. Here's an idiot. No, seriously, fucking unhappy with this. Why do we keep changing characters' race?
Why would they make Hermione black? So damn stupid. It's not racist not appreciating the Hermione casting. It just doesn't make sense. Young children will easily identify Harry and Ron, yet because so many children are going to go see a stage play about the middle-aged characters. I'm offended by the casting of Cursed Child Hermione as a white... No.
Okay, sometimes it's a little difficult. You know, if you go and you try to read original manuscripts, or not original, but the way they were originally reproduced, if you try to read the original Latin of say, Livy or Virgil or Ovid or whatever, it's a pain in the ass because there's no such thing as punctuation. The Romans had no commas, no semicolons, no periods, no exclamation points. None. I guess Michelle here on Twitter is... Roman, because you just sort of had to sort it out in context. I'm offended by the casting of hashtag Cursed Child. Hermione is a white character. Hey, look, there's a period. We may not make POC characters white, so white should not be POC. POC, person of color. Lady Conserve, well, I guess we know all about her, don't we, over on Twitter. Yeah, this isn't going to work. It's Harry Potter and a new look Hermione. I can think of a lot more white characters having their races changed than I can black characters having their races changed. And then somebody's really got the whole context thing going here. Ghostbusters with all women. Hermione turned black. Why? Can't we just leave good casting alone? Isn't one of the original Ghostbusters dead? Well, dig him up and just have him laying around on a couch or something. Can't we just leave good casting alone? Some individual by the name of Rayine. Now, that ain't from south of the... That name doesn't come from behind the cornpone curtain. No. Rayine says,
this is not a question of racism or whatever. The character of Hermione was white. Why change it to black?
I'm sorry. Now, I'm offering this in the spirit of the spirit of reconciliation that the white wing demands, like say, of all Muslims. Because see, if a Muslim delivers a cold cup of coffee to George Will, every Muslim on the planet has to apologize. So adopting that, please, as a really, really, really white person, I, Bob Kincaid, apologize. I do. I don't even have to be asked by ABC News and that head full of hair
if I apologize. I apologize. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, rest of the world. I do. Look, 99% of us white people are decent and law-abiding and just okay folks to hang out with. But that 1% of white folks just ruins it for all the rest of us. Having hissies about stormtroopers, having hissies about Hermione, having hissies about James Bond, having hissies about Shakespeare characters, I'm sorry. Jumping Jesus H. Christ on a trampoline, I am sorry. White people. Yet meanwhile, Marty says, my favorite tweet regarding the controversy of Black Hermione. Interesting that some people find a Black Hermione Granger harder to believe than in, you know, magic spells. How far does this go back? I think the first I remember, what would a hashtag for this be? White casting hissies. One of the earlier ones I remember is when a guy was cast in, like, the second Thor movie or something. Well, he can't be a Norse god. He's a Negro. Because, you know, Norse gods were so real. Yeah, I know. Yeah, white people. Let's see. Steve writing in, Azkaban. No, Bob, they want to send Obama back to Azkaban. Steve continues, black characters white, like Santa and Jesus. Well, yes, I know. With a little bit of perspective, Robert Nestrelius' subject line, Doctor Who Regenerations. Bob, towards the end of the recent series of Doctor Who, an elderly male Time Lord, not the Doctor, regenerates into a young black woman, makes a comment about having to deal with all that testosterone. Have the right wing exploded over that yet? Robert, it takes a little bit of brains to really get wrapped up in Doctor Who. And most of your white wing types are still trying to sort out the plot intricacies from the Dukes of Hazzard, okay? Just saying. Tim from L.A., wouldn't the white wing be surprised when Jeebus returns to rapture his sheep and they realize that he is the a brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer, semi-literate, itinerant rabbi? Tim didn't say that. He said, won't they be surprised when Jeebus returns to rapture his sheep and they realize that he is the paren horn description of Yeshua here, please, and not white? Who cares what color the characters are in Hollywood? It's fiction. Like the Bible. Ooh, he scores from downtown. Beyond the arc. And then, of course, my darling Agnes. What does it matter what race anyone is in Harry Potter? Sounds a lot like there are a bunch of Draco Malfoys and Dolores Umbridges in that bigoted crowd. Just saying. Ooh! Hey, you know, you never know who's listening to the horn. I hear all the time little things that happen here, and they just sort of wander out into the for-profit media. We had an account of that last week. But JK, I know, it's late over in the UK. It would be like opposite world crap you would get for this. No, that's not going to work. I was going to say, why not? Well, it's a way of trolling them is what it is. You could draw them out, just like you've drawn them out with Hermione. How about a black
Draco Malfoy. Because, you know, Draco's just a heavy. You know, he's just a bad guy. The silence from the umbrage-taking White Wing would be deafening. Mm-hmm. Out in the Great Northwest, our dear friend Jude. What do you wager that these folks have never read any of the Harry Potter series? Just heard about it in the past few days. Oh, no, they... Oh! Jude, I would not place that bet. White wingers don't read. Unless it's, you know, something that's been recommended by their minister, like the real true fact account of the Left Behind series, or maybe Joel Osteen's latest book type product, spread cheese food product. Marty. So, now, wait a moment. Doctor Who? Another Time Lord? Is that the Master by any chance? Oh, don't get that started. Please. Meanwhile, imagining the Rapture, Ron, in the slightly tingly north, says, I like the scenario when Jeebus comes back in a Hollywood cloud of smoke and says, who are you guys? I just came back for the sheep, especially Dolores over there. you'll smoke a Parody in hell for that one, Ron. Meanwhile, Ron and Raleigh, a black stormtrooper, you say? Oh, the things that get you guys going. If you remember in Star Wars, the stormtroopers originally were clones. The cloned individual was a man of color, probably Maori. Boba Fett, the cloned son of Jango Fett, is clearly a child of color. As far as regenerating as a female in Doctor Who, I think it would make for some odd family dynamics. Imagine waking up to find that your spouse is now the same gender as you when you'd married someone of the opposite gender. Oh, Ron, have you not read Altered Carbon yet? Meanwhile, on a somewhat more serious note, I had something from Robert a little bit back. On refugees, Robert says, when all the rivers in the USA dry up, when the water tables are all polluted by fracking, when the cost of a Big Mac reaches $135 because the USA has to import all its beef, when a bottle of water costs $50 and water is rationed, do you think Canada will decide it can't afford to have all those American refugees trying to get into Canada for all the freebies? Ooh, I think there'll be a wall there by then. And maybe it'll be the wall that Trump builds. Or the Republicans or something. Maybe Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American. They'll build that wall to make sure nobody else goes up there and gets born in Canada and gets to come back here and be president. And then we won't be able to stream across the border there for all the Canadian freebies. And the poutine and the hockey. We'll be stuck here. Walls are much better at keeping people in than keeping people out. Shh, don't try explaining that to the Israelis. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you wonder why I missed a car wreck story. This stuff goes on and on and on.
Amazing stuff. How about this guy? How about William Celli, C-E-L-L-I, of Richmond, California, which makes me worry a little bit about some of our brother and sister Hornedanistas in the Bay Area. 55-year-old William Celli of Richmond, California, had a hobby. And he was also politically interested and politically active. And he shared a lot of that online. And, of course, on Facebook. A selection of the musings of William Celli, age 55, of Richmond, California. Donald Trump's on again. I'm happy leader's okay. But this guy's a great point man. I'll follow this man to the end of the world. Donald Trump's on again, and I'm feeling good about myself. I have lost 30% of my business to Hispanics coming to my country under false pretenses and freeloaded in construction or in the blue-collar sector. They need to go back home. Let's not talk about the welfare they suck dry. Another Roman with no punctuation. Pro-Trump kind of guy with a hobby. He describes himself as a plumber, which means he knows how to fit pipes together and, I guess, sweat copper and that kind of stuff. Yeah. Well, this past Thursday, the police got a tip. And somebody called in and dropped the dime on William Celli of Richmond, California, 55 years old. KPIX-TV reporting that he was reported for apparently using his plumbing skills to make explosive devices, otherwise known as IEDs, when Iraqis and Afghans and you know, Muslimy people use them, but they're just explosive devices when a white guy does it. Police descended on his neighborhood in Richmond, California, yesterday morning, and they found a suspicious device in Mr. Celli's home, which they then remote exploded. Police say they haven't yet ascertained whether the homemade device, which was definitely not an IED or a pipe bomb, because only Muslims make those, was ready for action, but they were concerned that he about the threats that he made against Muslim people and undocumented immigrants. So it was December 17th when an anonymous tipster, probably a Muslim, called the police and said that this guy was running his mouth about wanting to hurt Muslims and making bombs. It happened in the 5100 block of McBride Avenue. The device was detonated by the Walnut Creek Bomb Squad. The entire neighborhood was evacuated. As of the publication of this story from CBS San Francisco, he had been booked into the Contra Costa County Jail. The police will not elaborate on the nature of his threats, other than to say that his actions and statements drew the attention of law enforcement and were very concerning to officers. Again, this is a Trumper. a pluribus unum, if you will. But don't worry. There was no reference in the story from CBS San Francisco about him being a terrorist, or even a potential terrorist, or a possible terrorist, or an ersatz terrorist, or a terrorist in the making. He's a Contra Costa County man who worried police with his threats to harm Muslims. Right? Because there's a big difference between someone who wants to harm Muslims and a terrorist. Especially if the person who wants to harm Muslims is not himself a Muslim. Now, over there in that country that used to be relatively stable called Iraq, but which we deliberately destabilized, thanks for your vote, Hillary Clinton. It is possible for Muslims to be terrorists and still hurt other Muslims. But not here. In Mecca, Muslims are terrorists, and Muslim terrorists only hurt good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered white people. Are we clear? Because if you're not, Rick Santorum will clear it up for you. Bro-fro-mix, for reasons passing anyone's understanding, was booked to appear on the Mika Brzezinski with that Scarborough guy program. I'm trying to give her some better billing here. I mean, Jesus, she's half the program and she doesn't. I mean, or as Charlie Pierce refers to her, or them. Squint and the meat puppet. But anyway, apparently someone who is in the booking department of that program at MSNBC upended a bottle of old Panther piss, about 186 proof, and decided to start booking guests, and one of the guests that person booked was Rick Santorum, again, who does not sit in government, does not hold an office, and is running for president only in the same sense that, you know, I am, which is to say, not really. But he is notorious for getting up in arms about the precious little fetuses, and so somebody keeps the name of his agent in their Rolodex. That's the only way I can figure it. Because Rick Santorum, polling less than even 1% of likely Republican voters, Rick Santorum has no constituency. Okay, 1%. Aw, damn it. Do I really have to use the calculator? Yes, I really have to use the calculator. Let's see. Let's go 330. Oh, 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 oh. Times 0.01. Okay. So conceivably, statistically, although I find it almost impossible to believe, there are 3,300,000 people who think Rick Santorum would be a great president. Can't be. Just can't be. But still, those 3,300,000 people weren't watching Morning Joe. They don't watch Morning Joe.
They watch Fox. Which, granted, Morning Joe desperately wants to be. But for reasons that pass comprehension and understanding, they booked Rick Santorum on that program. Get the hockey puck. You want a couple of loops of the duct tape. A couple at least. Because this is, after all, Moran Monday. Right? Right.
Just, I would ask that in reverse. What are they going to do to reach out to make sure that
You're saying that suggests, Rick, that 95% of Muslim Americans are complicit in the acts of, like, let's say, San Bernardino.
No one suggests, Joe, no one's suggesting that. But the bottom line is this.
Before we get to Rick Santorum's bottom line, a little context. The question is, from Squint. While we're sitting here having our great big Muslimy hissy fit, what can we do to let that 99% of Muslims who are not trying to bomb your granny know that they are valued and have meaning in this culture? That was the question. And bless his bigoted, dumb ass, Bro Fromix can't even admit that there are Muslims worth having in this country.
Well, the answer is I would ask that in reverse. What are they going to do to reach out to make sure that
You're saying that suggests, Rick, that 95% of Muslim Americans are complicit in the acts of, like, let's say, San Bernardino.
No one suggests, Joe, no one's suggesting that. But the bottom line is this. There are Muslims in this country who are doing that, who are actually going out and trying to establish a reform Islam. Trying to deal with the problem, the cancer within Islam, and it's real. And the bottom line is that many Muslims are simply not doing that, and there are organizations like CARE who are actually continuing to apologize for the radicals and actually have influence in both the last two administrations to not bring Islam not out of the 7th century. I'll take that for now.
Please to remember, this is a guy, he says he wants to bring Islam out of the 7th century. In the 7th century of the Common Era, the Islam that he wants to revitalize or modify or improve, new and improved with fetuses, had a working knowledge of the classical of the classical learning and science such as it remained that had been lost to the West permanently. Ideas like washing one's hands once in a while. These were lost to the Roman Catholic West. Ideas like pouring some wine in a wound, which the Romans did, but had become lost to the Roman Catholic-dominated West because one might get a demon. That 7th century, that's your 600s CE. This is after the Christians flay the skin off of Hypatia. I mentioned her Friday night, too. And burn down what remains of the Library of Alexandria, destroying the legacy of knowledge and science in the West. That 7th century Islam that Rick Santorum is worried about had math and science and alcohol and algebra. while the Christian-dominated western half of the former Roman Empire had gotten down to a point where Carl the Great, Charlemagne, you know, said, "Well, I always wanted to learn to write, but I spent so much time using a sword, I don't think my hand will hold a pen." Hey, really. And in terms of 7th century beliefs, last I checked, his religion, and he adheres to a particularly brutal form of it that ignores every reform made by the Roman Catholic Church since 1960. He's still pissed off that they're not doing the Mass in a language he doesn't even understand. Because the magic's better that way. Demons. Keeps away the demons. Angels like it more. You can tell because they dance better on the head of the pin. If he wants to talk about barbaric acts, barbaric beliefs, condoms, birth control, you know, I don't think the Muslims of the 7th century, the 8th, the 9th, or the 10th, or the 11th, or the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, or the 15th, ever persecuted anyone for trying to figure out the movement of bodies in the heavens. Meanwhile, the Roman Catholic Church, just only recently, like 500 years later, too late, apologized for doing exactly that. So, Rick Santorum can take his barbaric 7th century, roll it up broadly, and stuff it sideways right up his ignorant, hypocritical, right-wing, white-wing Christian fundament. Back to you, Rick.
To apologize for the radicals and actually have influence in both the last two administrations to not bring Islam not out of the 7th century. I'll take that for now. Bring that version of Islam out of the 7th century and begin to do something to move a reform movement. And there's a friend of mine named Zudi Jasser who's been probably the biggest voice in this, but there are lots of Muslims out there who are actually trying to confront the cancer. And the bottom line is most are not, and that's a problem.
Well, how's about that? There's a cancer inside Islam. Meanwhile, the guy sitting on the screen is actually a living, breathing cancer inside Roman Catholicism. He thinks Islam needs to be brought forward and reformed, but reform efforts inside his own church, he has resisted as heresies. See, sometimes on Moran Monday, I save the best for last. This is an astonishing degree of a lack of any comprehension or introspection whatsoever. You know what? I'd like to reform all the religions. What if all the religions could become existential in nature, kind of like Zen Buddhism? What if you took the humbly mumbly and the gobbledygook out of all of them and pared them down to essential suggestions for getting through this life, this veil of tears? What if you did that? What if instead of spending all its time worrying about what happens to your soul after you die and are thus physically incapable of knowing you're dead? What if we worry about life? What if Rick Santorum's Roman Catholicism was actually more concerned with feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick and imprisoned, you know, like Yeshua said, and not all obsessed with what happens in the in the insides of women people, which these science deniers aren't even sure is real? What if? By God, that's an entire another verse of John Lennon's Imagine, isn't it? And I appreciate that, Steve. Steve writing in saying, as a Catholic, I apologize for frothy. Right. Like me apologizing for white people. I get it. But here's the fun part. Mika the Meat Puppet is actually going to get to speak, and you might enjoy this. So remember, everybody's apologizing for the Muslims, There's a cancer inside Islam, and it's a Muslim cancer. It's a Muslim pipe bombing, terrorism creating, terrorism doing cancer, Muslim. Right? And there's not. I mean, Rick Santorum says there's not enough people out there, not enough Muslims out there who are trying to reform the Muslim cancer. Hey, come on in, Mika.
Most Muslims are confronting the cancer?
No, they're not out there trying
in America?
In the world, and I would say even here in America. No, most are not. Most are not.
Well,
I mean, Kara is a good example of that. They are not.
Well, why aren't you working on white men with guns? I mean, come on, Rick Santorum.
Well,
you know better. You're a smart guy. You're telling Muslim Americans
that.
No, he's not a smart guy, Mika. Do you have to say that because you're on the for-profit TV that Rick Santorum is a smart guy? Because he's a goddamn dumbass. I mean, we're talking about couldn't pour a fetus out of a boot with directions on the heel. That kind of dumb. He's not a smart guy. I mean, apparently, if you look into the, if you're a Republican and you look into the camera and you say, I put my pants on, then you're a smart guy. I resent the affirmative action lowering of the standards for the definition of intelligent that is foisted upon an otherwise credulous nation in regard to Republicans. You're a smart guy. No, I'm not. But I mean, that is an interesting question. Why isn't he apologizing? Why isn't he trying to do something about the cancer growing in the white community with all of their goddamn guns?
You're working on white men with guns. I mean, come on, Rick Santorum, you know better. You're a smart guy. You're telling Muslim Americans they all need to come out and talk about the tiny percentage of their community that has kind of, quite frankly, wreaked havoc. But yet, you look at the data of white men with guns wreaking havoc on this country. Why aren't white men all coming forward? Why don't you call on them to do that?
I'm doing a lot of things about trying to solve gun violence.
You're ringing bells. What, he's working the Salvation Army gig now? Well, they don't think he doesn't like the gay marriage, and neither does the Starvation Army. But wait, he's doing something. He's doing something about white men with guns. I want to hear this.
Coming forward. Why don't you call on them to do that?
I'm doing a lot of things about trying to solve gun violence, and that primarily
really?
Focuses like, on the family. Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
being
if you look
against
at,
people on the terror watch list to not being able to buy a gun?
If you look at the folks.
Didn't hear that. Na la 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 la. Didn't hear that. Didn't hear that. Didn't hear that about the terror watch list and letting them buy guns. La 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 la.
Of gun violence, and that primarily
really?
Focuses
like,
on the family. Yeah,
I mean, if being you look against at, people on the terror watch list to not being able to buy a gun.
If you look at the folks who are causing crime in America, almost every single one of them, and I think Chuck Colson pointed this out, that 85 to 90% of men in prison grew up without a father in the home.
So Chuck Colson's dead, and he's been dead for a long time, hasn't he? Mercifully. And really, citing one of the crooks from the Nixon White House, not my idea of good sourcing, but who the hell am I? But wait. What causes criminality? What causes white men to go wild and shoot up old Planned Parenthoods and movie theaters and university campuses and elementary schools and churches? What causes that, Rick?
The folks who are causing crime in America, almost every single one of them, and I think Chuck Colson pointed this out, that 85 to 90% of men in prison grew up without a father in the home. So you want to get at the real root problem here. You've got a breakdown of society based upon the breakdown of the family. To point to an inanimate object is a ridiculous thing. I mean, the idea that a gun is the problem here.
No, let's talk about
it's
the
not
white
the
man.
Gun is not the problem. The problem is that people are being raised in a very violent society without proper guidance and leadership in their home, and that's a fundamental problem that I have, in fact, been working on for quite some time.
Hey, yeah, shut the up. You got that? We've got it has nothing to do with there being as many firearms in this country as there are people. It has nothing to do. No, it's because your criminals grew up without a father in the home. What does that say about the mothers? Think about that one for a minute. If Rick Bro-Fro-Mix, if Rick, he's a nig, if Rick Blah People Santorum says that if only there was a father in every home, we wouldn't have crime anymore, or much crime. Well, I mean, and that's the assertion he's making, to be fair. Then what's mom doing? Really, what's mother doing? I guess all that meal prep counts for nothing. The diaper changes and the feedings and the breastfeeding and the burping and the birthing. Oh, that's oh, I mean Rick loves him some fetuses, but that's all a woman is a fetus transport vessel. Because the moment the baby emerges from the birth canal, by God, if he doesn't have a father, he's probably going to go get a gun and do something awful. Because Chuck Colson. Chuck Colson had a father in the home, didn't he? Yeah. Jeffrey Dahmer had parents, didn't he? Oh, wait, Adam Lanza, yes, he was raised by Mother Lanza and taken to the gun range to work out his disabilities while his father was off in New York City making a ton of money. But there's another question. If in that traditional family that Rick Santorum so values, if daddy is gone 10 hours a day and mommy's staying home baking cookies whilst wearing an A-line skirted dress like June Cleaver. Then how do you explain the crimes that their kids commit? Now, Beav, you really shouldn't have shot up that mosque. Oh, Ward, don't you think you're being a little hard on the Beaver?
We don't call it Moran Monday for no reason. From the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansasstan, as we wind this down, subject line, Kansas terrorists. Remember that Governor Sam Brownback's brother is terrorizing his neighbors in Kansas. It is a matter of record. Of course, his actions are not labeled as such, nor are his brother's, even though his tax cuts are brutal. The real terrorists blend in to the extent that we don't see them for what they are. They are thugs who want to hurt us, all while appearing legitimate. Like those agents in The Matrix. It's where we are, I think, sometimes. Exactly. The word terrorism is another one of those instances of language providing less clarity than more. Meanwhile, late in the game, 8:56 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this winter's solstice, 2015, Steve writes in to say, Hitler had a father. Hello, Gerald. Damn it, Gerald. Okay, I think it's pretty clear there's a conspiracy going on. Yeah. And thanks. Profound, deep, and abiding thanks go out this evening to Bob in Texas for meeting Chris's challenge. Thank you, Bob. Thanks also go out to Glenn, and thanks go out to Jay. That is awesome. And it relieves a good bit of stress. Because now all we have to worry about is, you know, Friday. I mean, we got to worry about Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, but, you know, Friday. Thank you, Bob. Thank you very kindly. And thank you, Glenn. And thank you, Jay. And thank you to our subscribers. Absolutely. Thank you, Joan. Thank you very much. And thank you also to Joseph. Thank you as well to thank you to Carl. Thank you, Harold. Thank you, Kathy. And thank you, Bernice. One and all, thank you very, very much for everything you do to keep this effort on the air. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Thank you, each and every one of you who join in for this conversation, no matter how you join in it. Because, well, that's how community happens. Thank you. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.